I know today's Mother's Day, which is a very special day. And I want to honor our mothers today. And I know for some it's kind of hard. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But I wanted to talk a little bit this morning about, have you heard about the next Survivor show? Now you guys are excited, aren't you? The next Survivor show that they planned. It's 6 men will be given 1 van and 4 kids for 6 weeks. Yeah. Yeah, each kid plays two sports, takes music and dance lessons, and there's no access to fast food, right? Each man must take care of his 4 kids, keep his assigned house clean, correct all homework, complete science projects, cook and do laundry. You guys are excited about this, aren't you? Yeah. And this is going to be awesome?
This is going to be miserable.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, isn't it awesome?
It's going
to
be good.
So the men do have access to television, but it's only when the kids go to sleep. So, and all the chores are done. All has to be done. And then, but there's only one TV between all of them and only one remote. Okay? So they got to go to the only one TV, you know. So they must be able to get a 4-year-old to eat green beans, okay, or vegetables. And the men must shave their legs and wear makeup daily, which they got to apply while driving and while making lunches. Now, you think that doesn't happen, but I've multiple times been driving down the road and I'll see somebody in front of me, and it'll be a lady, and she'll have driving with her knee, and she'll be eating a sandwich, combing her hair, or putting mascara on while trying to get to work. I've witnessed that. You know, I'm thinking, I'd be dead. I just, just saying, there's no way I can do that. You know? So but they'll be judged on how well they can make an Indian hut or a fort out of 6 toothpicks and a tortilla shell. And they have a magic marker to go along with it. So I'm looking forward to this new show coming out, right? So I do. Today we want to pay honor to all the ladies who know that being a mom is an adventure. I'm telling you. Where you not only survive, but you thrive. And moms were made special to do that. Men can't handle that kind of pressure.
Amen.
You know. God has blessed them with children, you know, and I'm telling you, you know, moms are special people, and it's an awesome responsibility that God has given you. Such a tremendous responsibility. And the Bible describes this virtuous mother and wife in Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, and I told Stanley last night, I think Verna has it up here on the screen. I wasn't sure. He said he talked about Proverbs 31. Now, and a lot of people don't read all of Proverbs 31. They like to read the last portion with verses 10 on through to 31. And it says, "The sayings of King Lemuel, an inspired utterance his mother taught him." Okay? So his mom taught him, he said, "Listen, my son. Listen, son of my womb. Listen, my son, the answer to my prayers. Do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings. It is not for kings. It is not for kings to drink wine, not for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and deprive all the oppressed for their rights." Now listen, this is why most people ignore this part. He said, "Let beer be for those who are perishing." Okay, people don't like to hear that. "Wine for those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves." I've got too much oil on my fingers. for the right of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Then he goes on to say, a wife of noble character who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar, and she gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it, and out of her earnings she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task, and she sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamps does not go out at night. In her hand she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers, and she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed, and she is clothed in fine linen and purple, and her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Boy, you guys would love that, wouldn't you? Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Man, that's a lot to take in, isn't it? Man, that's words from a mama and a wife that should be honored because she honors God. And someone once said that a positive mom is the most powerful weapon against the culture of despair and cynicism that assaults our children. Man, such a wonderful saying. For some of you, really, this is a difficult weekend. And it's tough for you to come to church and because you've experienced the pain of losing your mom or a child. And the memories are all consuming on a day like today. And others of you just feel maybe sometimes inadequate. We do. Others are presently feeling incredible fulfillment from being a mom. And today I want to encourage you though. I want to encourage all of you and remind the rest of us of how important moms are. You know, pouring your life into your children is a worthy calling, isn't it? There was a post in the Washington Times that reported that 80% of mothers between the ages of 18 and 29 would rather stay at home and take care of their children than work full time. But many single moms would give anything in the world to be able to stay at home with their children. But it's just not possible to survive financially for the most part in this world we live in today. And it's hard to raise your family, to have a decent home and put food on the table on one income, isn't it? It's not easy. I know Leanne didn't work for 5 or 6 years when Madison was little. And man, that was some of the most difficult times that we had because I worked all the time and Madison really didn't see me that much. Because I would leave before the sun came up, and I would go to work, and sometimes I would come home, eat supper, and go back to work. And I had to, because I just had to. If we were going to keep a house and have food on the table, living on one income was not easy. You know, but when a mom is able to make that decision to dedicate her life to the home front, we ought to celebrate her. We ought to celebrate that champion for the family values that it is. There was a lady by the name of Susie Case. She was a Harvard business lady, and she had graduated from Harvard Business School, and she worked on Wall Street as an equity analyst who followed computer stocks. Sounds really great. She left her job and to start a family, and so saying that her relationship with God and her family had to take priority over her life. And she admitted, you know, it's hard for me to go to Harvard reunions because I worry that my classmates think that I've squandered my education, my exceptional opportunity. But then she said, however, the sacrifices are worth it because relationships without regret are my best investment. Man, that's good stuff right there. Relationships without regret. Moms who take care of their families, whether they work outside the home or not, ought to be celebrated for nurturing, having this nurturing environment that they provide. There was a pastor, evangelist by the name of Tony Campolo. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He spent much of his life traveling around the world speaking at Christian gatherings. And Dr. Dobson talked about him quite often. And his wife was named Peggy, and she was a stay-at-home mom, and she chose to pour her life into raising her two children. And her two children named Bart and Lisa. And years ago, she tells a story about, or he does, he said when Peggy would occasionally travel with Tony, she found herself in conversations with some of the most powerful and impressive, sophisticated women in the world. And sometimes she would feel intimidated and question her own self-worth. And Tony said to her, "Honey, why don't you think of something that you can say when you meet people so that they'll know that you value what you're doing and you think it's important?" And so not long after that, they were at a party and a woman said to Peggy in a rather condescending tone, "And dear, what is it that you do?" Tony said he heard his wife respond, "I'm nurturing two homo sapiens into the dominant value of the Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might become instruments of social transformation to turn the earth into a eschatological utopia which God has envisioned from the beginning of time." Wow. And then she said, "Ma'am, what do you do?" I love this story. And then Peggy the other woman replied. She said, "Well, I'm just a physicist that works for NASA. I can't beat that one, you know." What a response, you know? What a response. I love that. Another lady by the name of Helen M. Young, it wrote in her book, "Children Won't Wait." I don't know if you've ever heard of that. "There will be a time," she says, "when there will be no slamming of doors, no toys on the stairs, no childhood quarrels, no fingerprints on the wallpaper. Then may I look back with joy and not regret. God give me wisdom to see that today is my day with my children. That there is no unimportant moment in their lives. May I know that no other career is so precious, no other work so rewarding, no other task so urgent. May I not defer nor neglect it, but by the Spirit accept it gladly, joyously, and by thy grace realize that the time is short and my time is now. for my children won't wait. Man, such a powerful story. You know, moms can be vulnerable too, and you are vulnerable. A mother's love is the fuel that enables a normal human being to do the impossible, is what Aaron said, or Annan, I'm sorry. A guy by the name of John Ruskin. Boy, I can't pronounce my words today. My mother's influence is molding my character was most of the time very conspicuous. She forced me to learn my daily of chapters of the Bible by heart. And to that discipline and patience, accurate resolve, I owe not only much of my general power of taking pains, but the best part of my taste for literature. All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my mother, is what Abe Lincoln said. Moms do a lot, don't they? They do a lot that is not possible to name them all, I guess, in one day. But I'd like to point out some things that mothers do for their children. And Proverbs 31:26 describes a woman who is great. It says that when she speaks, her words are wise, and kindness is the rule when she gives instruction. So mothers help us find acceptance in the home. It's refreshing, you know, to know that our mothers will always accept us. And they may not agree with our decisions. They may not like what we're doing, but they're always there with arms wide open and loving words. They always seem to be there. You know, for me, not to go into too great of detail, I was an outgoing child. I may not act like it now. I really never got into any big trouble, or not that much trouble, but I was always doing things that it really got me in deep water. And I remember when I was little, my mom, she said this one time, and I was, you know, she said that she used to tie me to the clothesline so that she could do the laundry. She had to keep an eye on me. And then when I was a teenager, I wanted to borrow the car, okay? And my dad, you know, he's like, no, you can't take the car, because me and my buddies wanted to go do some stuff. And he's like, no, you're not going to take the car. He said, you need to go. And so my brother, he probably remembers, I know he's smiling. He remembers this story. I know mom does. So I waited. You know, my brother and my dad were going to leave and go down to the farm. And I knew that it would take them a couple hours before they could ever get back. So my two buddies are like, hey, we can go anyway and be back before they get back. They'll never know. True story. So we lived on this gravel road, you know, and so as soon as they got away, I waited for just a little bit, and I thought, all right, let's go. So we piled in this 1978 LTD, man, big, long boat road, so good. Man, and on the gravel roads, I mean, we lived on a gravel road that had curves and stuff in it, and man, that car, if you could just get the throttle just right and you hit them curves, you could just, you know, go around them curves, and it was just a wonderful car to drive like that. You know, Dukes of Hazzard was my favorite show. And I mean, I could just a good old boys. I mean, that's what we were around that curve. And so what I didn't know is that when I hit that first curve and made that wonderful slide around there impressing my buddies, that Dad and Scott had forgot something. And so Dad pulls in the driveway and he sees that brown LTD go around that corner down there, and it's like, okay. So, you know, down on Water Valley Road, you get down about the third bridge. Old wooden bridges were wonderful to go over, you know, because, you know, I love that. Well, one of them down there by where Miss Jan lives now, the one we're just up from Bill Tweedy's, it's got a hump in it. And you, if you hit it just right, you can almost feel like you're airborne, you know. And so, you know, with my buddies in the back seat, you know, because we didn't wear seat belts back then. I knew that if I hit it just right, his head would be in the ceiling and then he would be in the floorboard. I knew that was going to happen, you know, so I did. And so we hit that, I hit it way too hard. And then all of a sudden one of my buddies is like, there's something leaking. I smell it. So we stopped the car and I had knocked a hole in the gas tank and there was gas leaking all over the pavement. And so, you know, being an old farm boy, I'd look for a stick I can shove in the hole, you know, to try to stop the gas from leaking so I can get back to the house. And so I get down on the ground, I'm trying to shove this stick in here, and I heard a car door slam. And then I looked out from underneath the car, and there's Dad. Yep. Yep, I died right there. I think Jesus brought me back to life. But, you know, that was one of those days when I was an outgoing child. And, you know, I didn't drive that car for a while. You know, we got it fixed, okay, I had to get a new the gas tank in it, and I guess it was probably 6 or 8 months later is when I, coming back from a school event, I rolled it over in the neighbor's yard and totaled it out. Yeah. I was an outgoing child. And now I know why she tied me to the clothesline. Oh, Lord, help us all. And that's the only story I'm going to tell you today. Okay? You know, but even though we all have had those embarrassing moments in our childhood, I know there's many of you could tell stories of things that you probably shouldn't have done that you did, and then you know... embarrassing our mothers is something some people take pride in. But even though we do things that would make them want to distance themselves from us. And I'm sure there was times where it's like, that ain't my kid. I don't care. You know, I got lost at Six Flags one time, and I'm sure that they were like, nope, ain't mine. I don't know who you're talking about, you know. Mom, Dad, you're right here. Not mine. Lost and found, you know, but Lord help us all. Keith Hernandez. Anybody remember Keith Hernandez? I bet old Bob does back there. Yep, you remember Keith. He was a 300 hitter who had won numerous Golden Glove awards, and he was excellent in fielding. And he won batting championships for having the highest average. He was the most valuable player many times. He even gained the award in his league and even got a World Series behind himself. And yet with all those accomplishments, he missed out on something crucially important. He wasn't accepted by his father. His father didn't recognize his accomplishments. And here's what he said one time in a very candid interview about the relationship that he had with his father. He said, one day Keith asked his father, Dad, I have a lifetime of 300 batting average. What more do you want from me? And his father replied, but someday you're going to look back and say, I could have done more. I could have done more. You know, while our mothers accept us, they also encourage us to be the best that we can possibly be. And there's nothing wrong with that, is there? When Thomas Edison was a child, his teacher sent him home and with a note which said, your child is dumb. This is a true story now. We can't do anything for him. And Miss Edison wrote back, you do not understand my boy. I'll teach him myself. And she did. And look what he accomplished. Mothers who understand and nurture their children are a credit to what God is talking about there in Proverbs 31. I owe a lot to my mama. I really do. She kept me in line. She kept me, you know, she kept me headed down the right road the best that she could. Moms do a lot more than just offer acceptance. Mothers help us find our identity in a competitive world, too. In the book, Are You My Mother? You remember that book? I know Madison does because I used to read it to her. That book was wore out. She still has it. The story about a bird that feels her eggs about to hatch, and so she sets off to find some food. And while she was gone, one of the eggs hatches, and the chick immediately begins to look for its mother. And the chick goes to a cow and says, Are you my mother? And then it finds the dog, and then it says, Are you my mother? And the story goes on, and the chick asking a cat and a bunch of other animals and some machines, and eventually the bird ends up back in the nest and is fed when the mother bird returns. Such a beautiful story. Sometimes we look at our identity like that. We wonder who we are, and we look for someone who looks somewhat like us. And the details might not be the same, but we find our identity from the people who nurture and shape and mold our lives. And I can say that not only just my mother is a part of me, but many others in my life have been that to me too. In the home that we first develop, that's where we develop our senses of who we are. And every child has the right to a secure, happy home life, don't they? And unfortunately, that doesn't happen in this world we live in. And so I'm so thankful for the home life that I was able to grow up in, because I know that not everybody has that opportunity. It breaks my heart. Every child has a right to the love and the nurture of his parents. You know, in relation to identity is a question of self-worth too. Dr. James Dobson, I've read some of his stuff for years and years. He's been very good. He's excellent in a lot of his books on raising children. He cautions us that a child can learn to doubt his worth at home, even when he is deeply loved by his parents. Destructive ideas can find their way into their thinking process and leading them to conclude that he is, or they are ugly, or incredibly stupid, or that they haven't proved themselves. And it makes them hopeless and feel like they're failures and that they'll never be able to accomplish anything in life. We need to encourage our children, don't we? And we need to not only surround them with love, but we need to help them feel competent as people. And as a church family, I would say we need to do that for each other as well. We need to be that for those who don't have that at home. Maybe those who never had that at home. And we need to be that. That's who God has been to me too. Loving and nurturing as a father. Mothers help us find belonging in God's kingdom too. That's one of the most important things that we can do. I know my parents took me to church. I said, I'm a product of drug abuse, right? You guys have heard me say this before. Because for 20 plus years, I was drugged to church. I was drugged on Sunday morning, Sunday night. I was drugged to church on Wednesday. And I can tell you, without drugs, I wouldn't be here today. Right? I think a lot of us are in that same place, aren't we? Drug abuse saved my life. Not many can say that. Susanna Wesley, mother of John Wesley, spent 1 hour each day praying for her 17 children. Can you imagine? Amen. 17 children. In addition, she took each child aside for a full hour every week to discuss spiritual matters. Now that's an example. That's an example. Mothers need to help their children find God's design in their life. Amen? That's an important thing, isn't it? G. Campbell Morgan had 4 sons, and all of them became ministers of the gospel. Now that's quite an accomplishment too. At a family reunion, he was asked by a reporter, which of the Morgans was the greatest preacher? And the father replied, their mother. You know, someone once said, mothers are essential to the work of God being done and carried out in society. They are the encouragers who help us discover who we are and what God wants us to become. So being a parent is all about sacrifice, isn't it? Today, God wants us to, He wants to remind us of His sacrifice as well. And God is the ultimate parent. He is the ultimate parent, mother. They've helped us shape our identity and have helped us find our place in God's kingdom. So I encourage you today, it's never too late to stop being a mother. Even though maybe your kids are grown up and moved away, it's never too late to stop being a mother. It's never too late to stop praying for your kids. It's never too late to stop nurturing them and pushing them to encouraging them and loving them, accepting them. It's never too late. And I know there's some wonderful mothers here that do that. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord. I just want to thank You for not only my mother, but these wonderful ladies that are here today. Lord, help them. Help them, Lord, in every way. Be those great encouragers. Be those great examples that this world so much needs to see. Lord, as we leave here today and maybe go and celebrate this Mother's Day, Lord, go with us. Lord, let us be a loving example to this world that needs to see that. And this is who we are because of You. I pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.